Hey, welcome to episode 365 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm David Elliott, and if I can't tap dance anymore, I've got no reason to live. Today, Fantastic Four 365 from June 1992 with Defeat Comes Death by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. So before I start, I just want to let you know that you can download other episodes of this podcast at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. I have a blog where you can see my favorite panels from each issue of the FF at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need any relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, look me up at pisslove... Never mind. I don't think I want to give out my Twitter. So it's the final part of the four-part, yes, four-part Oculus saga, and all hell has broken loose as Oculus is on the warpath, shooting his eye beams at everything that moves, and believe me, Wild Blood and the Fantastic Four are moving and fast. I don't know why Sue just doesn't put up a force field, but Oculus zaps the floor, and everyone goes crashing down. Oculus's lady, Alanda, and his mentor, Dangar, are like the angel and the devil on his shoulders. Len is telling him to spare the lives of the FF, and Dangar is telling him to destroy them. Oculus tells them both to shut up and says that he's only trying to extinguish the defiance from their eyes. Reed says, "Save yourself the time and effort, tyrant. That's one goal you'll never achieve." And Reed pulls out a gun. A small gun. Oculus properly mocks Reed for their tiny gun. This is the 1990s. Small guns are not allowed. How did this make it past the Marvel editors? Small gun. Well, anyway, turns out it's not really a gun. It's a flare gun, and Reed fires off a flare to send a signal to the Human Torch. The Human Torch? Is that Reed's secret weapon? Good luck with that. Johnny and the Rebel see the flare, and they get ready to storm the castle. No pun intended. Back with Oculus, he tells Reed that the FF should have not become involved in their internal politics. Reed's like, you kidnapped my wife and injured my son. We had no choice. And then Johnny arrives, and he starts shooting flames at Oculus. Over with Franklin, he's being held in Sue's arms, and he says, "It hurts, Mommy. It really hurts." I had the very same reaction when I read this issue for the first time. Franklin's still hurt because he was used in Oculus's power-grabbing matrix device. So while Oculus is distracted, Reed picks up Sue and he carries his wife and son over the wall to safety. Back inside, Johnny is freaked out by how powerful Oculus has become. His flames have no effect on him, but then again, doesn't that describe 99% of all the bad guys the FF fight? Johnny gets zapped and falls to the ground, and Ben runs up behind Oculus and punches him in the back. Oculus falls over, and now it's clobbering time, or so Ben thinks. He tries to pound Oculus some more, but he puts up a force field that just deflects the thing's blows. Instead, he just zaps Ben with an I-beam, and then Wild Blood leaps toward Oculus, and he zaps the shit out of Wild Blood. And now Ben is stuck in Oculus's I-beam, and he's fighting through it. He pounds on the ground, and the ground collapses underneath Oculus, and he falls in. Dangar gets all pissy, telling Ben that the world can't survive without Oculus. He's the living embodiment of the Gym Guild, not to mention Dangor's meal ticket. But Oculus isn't gone long. The ground rumbles and out pops Oculus, fresh as a daisy, but not as pretty. He tells Dangar and Landa to scram to get out of harm's way, and he tells the FF and Wild Blood they're about to face his unfettered wrath, and there's a big explosion that blows a big hole in the side of Castle Oculus. Meanwhile, Reed is running away from the castle, carrying Sue and Franklin. They see the big explosion and wonder what's going on. Then they see a bright light flying out of the top of the castle, and Sue wonders if it's Johnny. But at the same time, back in New York City, Alicia is doing a little shopping, buying some veggies from a sidewalk vendor, and wondering why she's not able to get in contact with the Fantastic Four. Just then, a mysterious woman in a red jacket comes around the corner. She sees Alicia and says, "Alicia Masters, is that you?" Which is odd because this woman has always known her as Alicia Storm, not Alicia Masters. Alicia doesn't recognize the voice because She's never even met this woman before. The last time they met, Alicia was a Skrull. Alicia says that she doesn't recognize her voice, and the woman replies, "No reason you should. It was different the last time you heard it. I'm Sharon, Sharon Ventura. I've been called the new Miss Marvel and the She-Thing, but you know me best as Ben Grimm's girlfriend." Actually, we all know her best as the She-Thing. Sharon obviously not aware that Alicia was a Skrull, and this is not the same person. Alicia drops her bags. For some reason, she seems to know who Sharon is. This could be an interesting scene, but that's the end of the scene. We don't know what happens next, because that's it for Alicia and the Sharon in this issue. Frankly, I didn't even remember that Sharon came back during the DeFalco-Ryan issues. I thought we had seen the last of her, especially since DeFalco wasted no time in unceremoniously dumping her from the book the second he took over. So back in the Inniverse, which exists inside a wooden door in Reed's lab, the rebels are shooting missiles at Oculus, who wonders why they're even bothering using such puny weapons against a god like Oculus. Outside, the rebels are discussing how the missiles were only supposed to buy them some more time, and what it gets them is a very angry Oculus who comes out and starts shooting eye beams at everyone. Reed and Sue arrive back at the rebel camp, and the rebels call up a healer to take care of Franklin. Reed tells Sue to stay behind with Franklin while he makes like a rubber band and shoots himself back toward the castle. He comes swooping in and he lands on top of Oculus and wraps himself into a ball around the force field of the bad guy, and the force field expands and expands and expands until finally Reed gives out and he falls to the ground. Back with Wild Blood and the Thing, they both look like hammered shit, and Johnny comes over to see if Ben is okay. Next, Lana joins them and tells them that Oculus must be stopped. Johnny says, "You're his wife. Why should we trust you?" Why? Because for the last few issues, she's been constantly nagging Oculus to spare their lives. She says that Oculus was once a good man, but his quest for power has driven him to madness, kind of like a politician in Washington. She whips out her left arm from under her cape, revealing that it's all burnt up and stuff, and she's missing a hand. She says it was part of a sacrifice. Oculus plucked out his eye, and she had to suffer too by losing her hand. Dangor is listening in, and he calls her a traitor, and he whips out a gun, but before he can shoot, Wild Blood, which sounds like the name of an Image comic, Wild Blood jumps through the air, does a somersault, and kicks Dangor in the face, knocking him out. Next, Lana leads Ben, Johnny, and Wild Blood out of the room and through the castle. Back outside, Oculus is busy trying to zap Reed, who's balled up in the shape of a ball, and he's bouncing around, avoiding deadly blast. Oculus chases after Reed, who has led Oculus right into a trap at the rebel camp. They erect this 200-yard tall, I guess the Inniverse hasn't converted to the metric system yet, so it's this 200-yard tall gym screen, not a classic movie, a screen gym, but a gym screen, a large net festooned with gems. Oculus just laughs. Damn it, he's the master of gems. He loves gems. He's got gem power. He's got gem supremacy. Reed has Sue create an invisible tunnel from the gem screen to Oculus. And when he starts sucking up the power of the gem power hits Oculus with enough force to blast him up into the air and off into space. And that's the end of Oculus for now. He will show up again one day, and by one day, I mean for something like one panel in a future issue. So the rebels have won, and Oculus has been defeated. Lana has this craft that is being carried by two sky serpents, and she arrives with Ben, Johnny, and Wild Blood. And later, the FF are putting on their oscillation vest to help them travel back to their own dimension. But Reed warns the rebels that Oculus might return someday, and then Wild Blood says they will be ready. Landon tells them to go in peace, and the FF, along with Franklin, enter the little dimensional portal, and they're gone. Later, back at FF headquarters, a real doctor examines Franklin, and he concludes that he'll be fine. He has a mild case of shock, some dehydration, and he just needs some rest. But Reed isn't excited by the news. He says he's not concerned with Franklin's physical well-being, but his mental well-being. And really, can you blame him? If any child really was raised under such terrible circumstances, constantly being kidnapped, threatened with death, tortured, abused, and all the shit that Franklin's been through, he would grow up to become a huge nutcase. So the issue concludes with Reed expressing concern that maybe Oculus accidentally tampered with the psionic bonds that restrain Franklin's latent mutant powers. So you know what that means. Oculus accidentally tampered with the psionic bonds that restrain Franklin's latent mutant powers. And I'm sure in a future issue, we'll find out what Tom DeFalco thinks Franklin's mutant powers are. They seem to change depending on whoever the writer is. So that brings us to the end of the four-part Oculus Wild Blood Inniverse saga. It's one of those stories that kind of get under my skin because, once again, Reed was tampering with strange unknown scientific stuff, a strange dimension, putting his wife and son in harm's way. You know, if Reed's going to do these dangerous experiments, he really needs to do them away from the building where his family lives. Another problem with this story, Wild Blood and Oculus are not memorable or exciting characters at all. They're pretty boring, pretty lame, pretty terrible. I do appreciate the fact that, so far, Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan are trying to inject some new characters into these stories. That's one of the things I hate about modern Marvel comics. No one wants to create new characters anymore. But here, Wild Blood is a bore. Oculus is the same power-mad leader character we've seen a million times before. And the so-called Inniverse, the universe that exists inside a wooden door? It's not all that different from worlds we've seen inside the Negative Zone or the Microverse. The only difference is they have gems, lots of gems floating in the sky. So, who needs the Inniverse? Nobody, that's who. I think this is probably the last time we'll ever see it. So, say goodbye to the Inniverse. Goodbye, Inniverse. And that's all I got for today. This podcast is over.
Well, go on now and kiss it goodbye, but hold on to your lover, cause your heart's bound to die. Go on now and say goodbye to our